I'm pulling out my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so today is another in my series of what I call lessons learned. What I do is I take sets that I led or co-led the design for, and I talk about what I learned from leading them. I've been doing this for quite a while. So last time we talked, I believe I talked Unfinity. So the next set I led chronologically would have been Phyrexia, All Will Be One. Code name was Lacrosse. Okay, so we were doing this giant Phyrexian arc. Basically, that was going to lead up to March of the Machine, the giant Phyrexian War. Now, one of the challenges of doing the Phyrexians as villains is they're kind of creepy. And what we've learned is we didn't want to do them in large doses except for the really for the end. So most of the time in this storyline, when you see the Phyrexians, you see them in smaller doses. They keep showing up in a little more number. Like the first time you saw them in Call Time, there was one. And then when you see them in Kamigawa Dynasty, there's a couple. And then Dominaria United, there's like a faction. So the idea in Phyrexia All Will Be One was we knew at some point for the Phyrexian fans, we had to deliver on Phyrexia. We're not going to do a Phyrexian arc and not have one set that's like wall-to-wall Phyrexia. We want to make sure that if you are a Phyrexian fan, there is the Phyrexian set. And so the idea we liked a lot was to go back to New Phyrexia, formerly Mirrodin, and have a set there. And so basically the idea was in the story, the good guys are coming to save the day, going to Phyrexia to stop the threat, and they do not stop the threat. In fact, it is the villainous turn where the villains Phyrexianize a bunch of the planeswalkers, and things do not go well. The idea originally was this would lead then into the giant Phyrexian War. I think with a lot of feedback, looking at sort of how the Phyrexian War, March of the Machine, and everything came across, I think in retrospect, we wanted to treat Phyrexia All Will Be One. I think we wanted to show more of the war in it. Mostly we didn't show the war at all. The kind of it ended with, and the war starts. In retrospect, I think that there was too much going on in the war to have the war just be a single set. I think we needed to have Phyrexia All Will Be One start the war and have some of the war begin in Phyrexia All Will Be One. I'm not sure whether this is a lesson of Phyrexia All Will Be One or Phyrexia of March of the Machines or some combination thereof. But one of the things we definitely learned is you needed to have a period of time where the Phyrexians were winning, and oh no, the Phyrexians are winning, and then have a period of time where the good guys get to come back. And I think Merchant of the Machine was supposed to be, things are looking horrible, it's the last-ditch effort, but they saved the day. Meaning, we needed a period of time where the Phyrexians are just dominating. And now Phyrexia All Will Be One had a lot of that Phyrexian dominating feeling. The good guys come to save the day and get Phyrexianized. I think we could have condensed that down a little bit. The good guys come, save the day, get Phyrexianized, and then the war begins. And I think we could have had a little bit more of the war in the first set. Now, I haven't thought through all of that. I think the mechanical representation of the war probably was a little bit more on March of the Machine. But I do think we could show maybe some of the dominance of the Phyrexians early on. Okay, so let's talk about the big challenges of the set. On some level, that the issue I'm talking about is as much a March of the Machine issue as it is a Phyrexian All Will Be One issue. So at some point I'll do lessons learned of March of the Machine because I also love that. And we can talk about that more there. Okay, so the big challenge of this set was we are doing the Phyrexian set. What do we think the players will expect of a Phyrexian set? So we made, as we love to do, we made a list on a whiteboard. So there are three things that we felt players most expected. Like if this doesn't show up, players will go, the Phyrexian set, how does the Phyrexian set not have this? Number one was poison. So poison had existed in early Magic, got introduced in Legends, and then it showed up on a card here or there. It was never very good. Poison was always kind of a throwaway. Poison decks never had much strength or anything. And then we decided to tie Phyrexia to poison, and a lot of Scars of Mirrodin block was about the Phyrexians overrunning Mirrodin. And we wanted to have some mechanics that were very Phyrexian mechanics. So one of the things we did, we had Infect. And Infect was all damage to players is done in the form of -1/-1 counters, kind of like Wither. All damage to players is done in the form of poison counters. Now, Infect was very polarizing. There were people that loved Infect, and people that hated Infect. But we knew we needed to deliver on poison. Would it be Infect? Would it not be Infect? That's something we had to figure out. But it felt like, okay, we need to deliver on poison. Number two was Phyrexian mana. That had been a really popular mechanic in New Phyrexia and literally has the word Phyrexia in its name. Okay, how do we not do Phyrexian mana? And then the third one was, I talked about having mechanics that were Phyrexian mechanics. One of them was Infect. The other big one was Proliferate. And Proliferate was a hugely popular mechanic. We brought it back in War of the Spark, using it very differently, but we had brought it back. So we kind of knew we needed some kind of poison, we needed some kind of Phyrexian mana, and we needed Proliferate. Each one of those things came with a bunch of problems. And so a lot of the set was solving those problems. The poison problem is that what's the proper way to do poison? One of the challenges about poison in general is we want poison to feel different from life gain, or different from life in general. So the big thing that we've done with poison that I think has worked very effectively is this idea that you don't get rid of poison. That if you get poisoned, you know, every time you're poisoned, you're a step closer to death. That there's no, unlike life where you can, you know, if my opponent does damage to me, I can gain life and I can stop it. Poison has a sense of inevitability. And it makes it a little scarier. It gives it a very different feel. I know I've gotten people, the feedback I get is, but in life there are antidotes to poison. I get that. One of the things that's important, though, is when you have certain mechanics, you want them to have a definition and a feel to it. And that in order for poison to feel scary and feel, like, the idea is, in order to be poisoned, I have to be damaged by creatures. There's a few spells that do one poison. And obviously, Proliferate can proliferate poison. So once you're poisoned, Proliferate can do that. But we want a certain feel to it. And the fact that you can't unpoison yourself really gives it a scary fact. That even when you get poisoned once, even when I have one poison, I'm 9 away, there's still something about that that's intimidating in a way that damage never is, just because life gain exists. And I felt that was important. Like, poison definitely did a good job early on of doing what we want, which is it made people talk. Now, there are people that disliked, in fact, and, you know, poison, the complaint about poison is a lot of players feel like I've just lowered my, instead of starting with 20 life, I just get to start with 10 life. Now, the thing that they're sort of missing is there's a cost to playing poison. If you're playing poison, you're not playing other things, you're playing poison. And poison doesn't mean a lot to you until you're dead. And that was one of the big issues we had to solve, is there was a sort of a silo-ish problem where either I'm playing poison or I'm not. It was very hard to mix poison and not poison. Because either I do 10 poison to them, they die, or I do 0 poison to them, it doesn't matter. But doing 3 poison or 4 poison or 5 poison didn't mean anything. Poisoning my opponent a little had very little consequence. So part of the challenge of Phyrexia LV1 is trying to figure out how to make poison relevant in a way that it was had a more dynamism to it, and it wasn't all or nothing. So a lot of the mechanics that we came up with for the set, for example, we chose not to do Wither. The reason we chose not to do Wither was play design was not a big fan of the -1/-1 counters. And it led to a certain style of play where you ground things down, and we wanted a little less of that. So we decided, look, let's see if we can do poison and just do it a little bit differently. And so there's a couple things we needed to do. One was we decided to, instead of making poison replace damage, like it did with Infect, what if it was in addition to damage? What if just when I do damage to you, I'm doing the damage and I'm doing the poison, so I'm advancing along both tracks? that if, you know, if, for example, I stop drawing my poison creatures, well, I have done damage to you. Maybe I can just beat you with damage. Or if I draw my poison creatures, like, I'm along the way of poisoning you to death. So originally we looked back at poisonous. So poisonous was in future sight, in the future shifted sheet, we wanted to hint that poison was coming back. What happened was, I think the last poison card had been in Mirage or Visions. And then we decided to stop doing poison. I was planning to do poison in Tempest. It got pulled from there. I tried to bring it back and unglue too. That said, never happened. And so the idea was, we wanted to bring poison back. So in future sight, we hinted that poison returned. We kind of knew that we wanted poison to come back. So future sight put like, remember poison? So we made a mechanic called poisonous, where it was poisonous N, and when I do damage to you, when I do combat damage to a player, I then give them that many poison counters. We ended up changing poisonous to toxic. So this is another lesson here, is a lot of times in Magic, when we make mechanics based on the knowledge we have at the time. And then Magic evolves or changes. So in this particular case, when we made Future Sight, I think Magic Online existed. Magic Arena wasn't a thing yet. And one of the things with digital magic playing a larger role, because there's more people playing digital magic than ever before, is there's certain types of effects that work better than others. And the idea is, when you do damage, there's two types of effect. There's a triggered ability, and there's where the damage itself just comes with a side effect. So let's take lifelink, for example. When I hit you with a lifelink creature, I don't put the life gain on the stack. I just gain the life. It just automatically happens. And the way poisonous was written was it went on the stack. And it's not, when we can, because of digital concerns, we try not to put things on the stack if we can help it. If we need to, we do. It's not that we can't. But the idea there was, I'm going to hit you, you're going to get poison. Does it matter it's on the stack? Are you going to respond to getting poison? You know, like, you're not going to stop the poison. It's sort of like, why do you need to respond to the poison? And so we changed to toxic. Toxic is essentially poisonous, except it's more like lifelink in that it just happens. It's not a triggered ability. It just happens. And that just makes for a better digital experience. We only had 3 cards with poisonous on them, so it's not like we had a giant... It's not like poisonous was this giant mechanic we'd done before. We had hinted at it in the future. We had got really close. We missed a little tiny bit. We decided, look, let's just do the right thing. You know, we shouldn't continue something that's not the right thing because we did it 3 times once when we were guessing the future. And that's another big thing about future sight in general is... whenever you are guessing the future, it is hard to guess exactly. There are a lot of things that will change along the way. And there are even mechanics where we did mechanics, and you know what? We learn along the way there's a better way to do it. And that there's some nostalgia, and sometimes we repeat things because there's some fun ways that this is how it was. But as a general rule, if we can find a way to upgrade a mechanic to make it better, it's why we did Disguise off Morph. It's why we did Discover off Cascade. Sometimes we make a mechanic and there's room for improvement and we have to be willing to improve that. And that's something that we're very conscious nowadays of trying to find. So anyway, we put in Toxic. The other big thing we did, The other mechanical thing we did is we made it a mechanic called Corrupted. So what Corrupted was, it's a threshold mechanic and basically said, hey, if my opponent has 3 or more poison, I have some upgrade. There's some bonus to my poison, my partner, my time, sorry. There's a bonus to my opponent being slightly poisoned. And what that meant is there's some reasons to put poison creatures in your deck, even if the goal of your deck is not to poison your opponent out. And the reason why that is nice is, let's say I'm planning to beat them with damage, but I put a little bit of poison in my deck so that I can get to Corrupted. The cool thing is there are situations that pop up every once in a while where I can poison them out. Or vice versa, let's say my deck is more trying to poison them out. Hey, there are times when I can beat them with damage. And so a combination of Toxic still doing damage and Corrupted sort of giving you a reason to want to poison them a little bit really started giving you reasons to mix and match poison with non-poison. And that was something Like, once again, we do things, like, Scars of Mirrodin, there's a lot of good things about Scars of Mirrodin. I think, for example, it was the first time we really built a design to capture the feel of something, that we wanted you to feel what the Phyrexians feel like, and you play the Phyrexians, and I really think that the Phyrexians as disease motif really came through, and it allowed us to design cool things like proliferate and infect and such. And so a lot of what we were trying to do when we come back is, how do we capture that feel again? But look, not everything we did was perfect. How we executed on poison was the best we had done at the time, but there was room for improvement. And that's always the thing. When you're coming back, when you're revisiting something, and this is true, it's true of any theme you revisit, but it's especially true when you go back to world. Like, we were going back to New Phyrexia. You know, it's sort of keep the good and evolve the bad. Like, take the things that didn't work or worked okay and improve upon that. And a lot of our working on poison in Phyrexian All We Want is trying to say, hey, is there a way to make poison, is there a way to improve upon poison? I think we did poison better than we'd done before. And I think Corrupted was part of that. I think Toxic was part of that. So another component piece of this, because it all ties together, is we wanted to bring back proliferate. Originally, in the very first playtest, we had infect and proliferate. We're like, okay, let's run them back. And we kind of realized that infect wasn't what we wanted. We didn't want minus one counters. But one of the things that we did know is, okay, we kind of wanted to do proliferate. Proliferate and plus one counters can cause issues. You have to be careful with your plus one counters. Obviously, when we did War of the Spark, there were some plus one counters. Although I will admit that the main mechanic that used plus one counters, a mass, only ever had one creature. So when you proliferated with a mass, you were making your army better, but it wasn't a sweeping change. Like, if all your creatures had plus one counters on them, that is a really big upgrade for proliferate. So it is tricky to do a set with proliferate with plus one counters. Not impossible. Obviously, we didn't War the Spark. But then we came up with the idea of, what if we had a different kind of counter? So that's when we came up with the idea of oil counters. And oil counters really got to be very open-ended. What we said is, we're not going to put an inherent meaning to oil counters. We're going to let different cards do different things. And the way we designed it, Envision Design, is we came up with a lot of different ways to use oil counters. I think we came up with like 12 different ways. You can do this. And that, it wasn't that we expected set design to use all 12 ways. We're just like, hey, here's a tool. Here's a lot of different ways to use the tool. Figure out what is best. Now, looking back, there's pros and cons. I like a lot of what Phyrexian Oil did, in that it created a very different environment. That proliferating might mean your creature stayed around longer, or it could mean your creature had extra use. You know, it wasn't just your creatures got bigger, which is what happens with plus one counters. And that there was a lot of cool interplay there. Now, the thing we did learn is, plus one counters are kind of baked into the psyche of Magic, and that there's a lot of stuff when you use plus one counters that kind of comes for free. That players, when they see a creature and they see counters on it, they go, yeah, yeah, plus one, like, there's a lot of shorthanding that comes. So plus one counters being the default counter really allow us to, they limit complexity a bit, because A, they work the same, and B, they work in a way that you're used to and that you've sort of integrated, and so you can shorthand it when you play. When you change the counters to something else, now, oil counters on top of everything else were kind of open-ended. They didn't mean a specific thing, like plus one and minus one mean a specific thing. Once you understand what they do, I know that automatically. Oil counters, I gotta go, okay, I know it's oil counters, because that's the only counters in Limited, but, oh, what does this one do? Oh, this one's counting down because it goes away. Oh, this one has an extra use. Like, you have to figure out the means by which, how it's getting used. And so it's just more complexity. I think the big lesson of it is, poison as a system is a complex system, only because, once again, players have shorthands. Damage, when you attack and damage somebody, you know what that means. You don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about it, because if you played Magic for any length of time, you've gotten used to sort of the rhythm of damage. Whenever you replace something that you're used to with something you're not used to, it adds complexity. Normally, our normal rule is we try to add one thing. Now, I think at the time I was like, well, there's just one intricate system that involves poison and oil and like, I thought of it as a singular system, sort of. Because they all intermingle together. But the realization looking back is there are actually two different things going on. One was the poison economy, if you will, how poison works, how easy it is to get poison, what you can do to poison someone out. And then this idea that at three, I turn on corrupted things. So just understanding poison and the new way we were doing poison, you know, we were using toxic, which, well, like poisonous, there are only three poisonous cars in Future Sight. It was the third set. I mean, you never played a limited environment where there's lots of poisonous. Maybe you happen to get all three cards, maybe, in Future Sight. But even then, it was a small part of what was going on. It wasn't the major part. So even though we had done poisons before, and toxic and poisonous play, especially in tabletop, play pretty similarly. So the idea, though, is there was that. There was the poison economy you had to figure out. And there's a lot of moving pieces to it. Like, I like what Corrupted did, but it did add some more complexity. And then there was the oil counter economy, which meant, what did oil counter mean? What did proliferating mean? And there's an interlink between those. Obviously, proliferate ties into the poison economy in that one of the ways of winning had to do with proliferating. So the two systems intermesh. But one of the important lessons here is just because two different systems intermesh doesn't mean they're not two different systems. And so we really handed off a pretty complex system. Now, I think it was fun. And once again, the more enfranchised as a player you are, the more you can embrace new systems. And the other thing that helped us quite a bit is poison has a very large splash volume. Another big lesson we learned is in the commander decks, we made a bunch of different decks, one of which was, but one of which was a poison deck. The poison deck was by far the most popular. There's something about poison that is much beloved. It's very disruptive in a cool way. It definitely is very loud. Hey, I'm doing this thing, and I do enough of this thing, I beat you. It's an alternate win condition, which are popular. And poison is flavorful. There's a lot going for poison. But the lesson I think we learned about poison is it's best in small doses. That I think if everyone, like, poison's the kind of thing that we shouldn't do regularly, but every once in a while, if there was a poison set, it's something that players can embrace. And there's an audience that adores poison. There's an audience that doesn't like poison. But one of the things I talk about all the time is, hey, I'd much rather have things that are polarizing that some players love and some players hate than have things where everybody's like, eh, it's okay. And so that's why you don't want poison around all the time. There's people that it definitely annoys. But there's people that really get excited by it. And so we do want to bring it back every once in a while. So I'm glad we had poison. But one of the big lessons is understanding the two systems. There was one more mechanic that the set had. Because the Mirrens were there, there was a small group of rebels. So we brought back the rebel creature type. And we wanted to give the rebels a mechanic. So we brought back, we made a mechanic called Formiridin. So what we had done was, in original Scars of Mirrodin, in Mirrodin Siege, the middle set, in Scars of Mirrodin block, we introduced a mechanic, what was the mechanic called? It was a mechanic where, where they were artifacts, or equipment, that came on the battlefield, and they made a 0/0 black germ token. And then the equipment sort of animated, you know, because of the token, it sort of came as a creature. You could count it as a creature. Now, as with anything, like one of my lessons I talked about earlier here is you always look at ways you can improve upon things. And the idea of an equipment that came as a creature so that you could count it as a creature, you know, it could go in your creature pile, was very valuable. Did a lot of good. And the idea of having equipment that right away is usable. Either it snaps on or it generates its own creature. Very valuable. The one thing we had done and like sort of the room for improvement was the problem with making a 0/0 germ token is all the equipment had to buff the creature. They had to at least give it +0/+1, otherwise the germ just dies automatically, right? And equipment we realized is having every piece of equipment buff is not what we want. That we want to make equipment that is, hey, it just does this simple little thing. And that is kind of fun, especially if the equipment comes with a creature, that when the creature dies, you sort of have this leftover equipment. So the equipment doesn't need to do a lot to be worthy, because it comes with a creature. And so Mirrodin said, okay, let's take the lessons of Living Weapon. And we liked the idea that there's something very cool to us about the people who survived had to take a weapon of the enemy and bring it to their own purpose. That flavorfully felt really good. But the lesson was we didn't want 0-0. So we toyed around with 1-1, 2-2. I think we started with 1-1, and then eventually we realized that 2-2 was the sweet spot. And then it let us do very simple mechanics. It could be, oh, it is flying, or it could just have a single ability on it. And the idea is, hey, I get a 2-2 flying creature, so when it dies, I now have a flying equipment. That has value. Normally, if I was going to make equipment that only gave flying, wow, that there's a lot to make that worth even playing. But the idea that you built the body in. And so, again, one of the things that's really interesting to look at is finding ways of what worked before and what could make it better. And for Mirrodin, the technology of Living Weapon, but using a sort of not a 0-0, of using creatures with a little more substance, was very useful. And definitely a tool we will use again. I was very happy with the way for Mirrodin played out. Okay, so let me look, make sure I hit everything. Completed. So Completed was a mechanic that we started. We did the first one of it in Kamigawa Neon Dynasty. We knew the Phyrexians were going to Phyrexianize Planeswalkers. They did one in Neon Dynasty. They did one in Dominaria United. They did a Johnny. And then we knew they were going to do 5 Planeswalkers. That was one of the big things of this set. So a lot of this mechanic had been figured out before we got here. We had to figure it out. Like, what we did with Tamiyo and Ajani, we just did again with the 5 new ones. And so this was an interesting case where we had, sometimes when you do something, you sort of do what we call throw forwards, meaning you're setting yourself up where we go. So a lot of the work for figuring out how the completed things worked was done back in Neon Dynasty. And I had done a lot of work early on, pitching a lot of different ways that it could be done. Interestingly, I pitched like 6 or 7 different ways, and none of them were quite what we ended up using. I did like where we ended up, which is, I remember early on I talked, we had the 3 things. We had poison, we had proliferate, and we had Phyrexian mana, the 3 Ps. Phyrexian mana was tricky. How we ended up using Phyrexian mana is we'd use it on completed, and then we ended up not using a lot of Phyrexian mana in Phyrexian LB1. We did end up using it a bit more in March of the Machine as a means for how to transform creatures into the Phyrexian version. When I get to my March of the Machine lessons learned, we'll talk about that. But I did like the fact that we got some Phyrexian mana in. Another important lesson there is sometimes you do something and it's not that easy to go back to. Sometimes you make something, and a lot of times if something is popular, it's popular because it's powerful. And it being powerful sometimes can cause problems. Phyrexian mana caused a bunch of problems, both in that trading mana for life, like people have life, it's a resource you already have. And so it just makes your things cheaper. You just almost always pay life. And it also allowed some to do some stuff in color pie stuff that we shouldn't have done. So it was neat to have something that we set up, but there wasn't a lot that we did there. We did a lot of other small things. Flashback, and I guess Affinity technically became deciduous. We include Flashback Affinity in the set. I guess Affinity is deciduous. I keep going back and forth. I guess technically, on my blog, we keep arguing whether Affinity is a cameo or it's deciduous. I guess it's deciduous. We've used it in a couple different places. There's something very clean about it, and you can use it with different resources. I think we did Cameo Battle Cry in the set. And like I said, Phyrexian Mana was on the completed creatures. Final thoughts. I'm pretty happy with how Phyrexian LB1 turned out. The set did really well. It was pretty popular. I think we were a little bit higher on complexity than we needed to. I think we needed to understand sort of the fact that we were asking for 2 systems rather than 1 system. But I really thought we did a good job of delivering on Phyrexian in a way that felt Phyrexian. Like I said, there's some larger how to do the storyline issues that I think Phyrexia-ALB1 might have needed to absorb some stuff. So when I get to March in the Machine, I can talk more about that. But yeah, like I said, I'm pretty proud of a lot of things we did. I think what Vision Design handed over, most of those mechanics were there. We handed over Toxic, we handed over Completed, we handed over Proliferate. I mean, obviously Completed, that was a known thing. I'm generally happy. I think there are some lessons in that, trying to understand what we were doing. But there are also a lot of understandings of a lot of upgrades that we did that I think were important upgrades. I look back and figure out, like, how we handled Poison, how we handled Phyrexian Mana, how we handled Proliferate, how we handled, like, Premiered, and, like, there's a lot of things we did where we took things where I think that we did it before, and we could do it better, and we found a way to do it better. And I really think this was a set of a lot of, and this has to do, Returns can do this a lot, there's a lot of trying to figure out how to improve upon what we had done. And I think mostly we did it in a smart way. There's some interesting questions about oil counters, and, like, maybe oil counters wanted to be more exacting what they did and less open-ended. Maybe if they had a singular use that was generally useful, maybe that would make it a little easier to track. I mean, there's things like that I think about. But in general, I liked it. I thought it was a very good set, and I'm very happy with it. Okay, guys, I'm now at work, so we all know what that means. It means at the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.